Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you and magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking, God, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. My friends, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 7. 1 through 7 in Galatians chapter 4. We're starting this new chapter in Galatians. And I love how it starts off. And we're going to be talking about how we now can call upon our Father, Abba Father. Yes. And so I'm excited about this tonight's teaching. And once again, I'm looking forward to this Sunday. It's going to be a time that I can just receive and receive a wonderful word that will be delivered by Bishop Joel David Trout. And so let's go to the board right up here. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, We Cry Out, Abba Father. We cry out, Abba Father. Praise God, praise God. So once again, my friends, please turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, and let's read together verses 1 through 7. Here we go. In Galatians 4, 1 through 7, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Verse 3. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Woo, this is going to be good. Let's go to verse 6 and verse 7. And because, say that with me at home, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Praise God, praise God. And this is where I got tonight's topic, right there in verse 6. It says, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Praise God, praise God. So let's go to verse 1 and let's do our expository teaching this evening. Here we go. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. I need you to catch this, my friends. And so, saints, to further illustrate the spiritual immaturity of those who insisted on remaining under the law, Paul used an example from the Roman law and the customs that they had at that time. And my friends, in ancient times, the coming of age, a son carried tremendous significance. And my friends, this did not occur at a specific age, such as 12 or 13, as it did among the Jews and the Greeks. Rather, the coming of age was determined by the father. Praise God. You see, my friends, in Rome, this event was usually marked on March 17th by a family celebration known as Liberalia. Did you hear what I said? Liberalia. And during this week, my friends, the father formally acknowledged his son and heir. And the son received a new grown-up toga and entered into adulthood and all the responsibilities. Praise God. Praise God. But see, my friends, Paul pointed out, however, that while the young children and heirs are still minors and not yet of age, they are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. So we need to understand this in context, the traditions that Paul was referring to. Praise God, praise God. And so, my friends, and although they are the future owners of an estate and a fortune, while they are young, they have no claim to it, nor any right to make it decisions regarding it. And if you catch this, what I'm saying is, same with us, because we're going to read later on that we are joint heirs with Christ. But it has not yet been given to us to decide on future matters. Praise God, praise God. But we can know by faith, we have everything that was given to Christ was given to us. And so, my friends, in the eyes of the Roman law, the young heirs were no different than slaves. Paul's application of the illustration reveals that when we were under the law, we were no better off than slaves. Wow. Oh, that's right. That's right. So let's go now to verse 2 on this. Let's go there in verse 2. But look what he says. But is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. You see, there's a set time. There's always going to be an appointed time by God for you and I, my friends. You see, saints, in this analogy, Paul focused on the legal rights and status of the children. And these guardians are different from the ones described in chapter 3 and verse 24. These are more like trustees, okay? And those of you who have a living trust, you'll understand what that means. But I don't have time to go into that. But Paul's meaning was the same. The law performed its function of keeping us out of trouble and disciplining us during immaturity until God offered us maturity, praise God, through our acceptance of salvation by grace. Aren't you so blessed, saints? It wasn't about do's and don'ts. We came humbly yet boldly through the throne room of grace. We cried out, hallelujah, God save us. We confessed we were sinners and God washed us in the blood because it was an act of repentance. And then he filled us with the spirit of promise. How many of you at home are so blessed to know that you're filled with the promise of God, the Holy Spirit? The Bible says we are sealed until the day of redemption. Praise God. And no one would be able to snatch us out of his hand. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul's words imply that the time of this coming of age differed from every child. See, in Rome, the father set the time for his son's coming of age and adulthood. So too, God set the time for terminating our guardianship under the law and making us children and heirs by faith. And that was when Jesus Christ came. Hallelujah, and saved us. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, the date was the time of Christ coming into the world. Faith then initiates the believer into maturity and full rights. Hallelujah. Paul was dumbfounded that the Galatians would choose to revert to slavery when Christ had given them freedom. Are you understanding what Paul is alluding to in this text of scriptures? You see, my friends, they were behaving like children who had inherited an estate, but still insisted on remaining in a dependent servant type role. Wow. Wow. So this is why, my friends, we need to understand how God saved us. You see, thank God for the law. How many are so thankful for the law? Why? Because before we got saved, the law is what pointed us to the cross. The law is what searched our heart. The law showed us that we were sinful, that we had rebelled against a holy God, that we had sinned against one another. We had sinned against God. And praise God, it was that reckoning that you and I saw the cross. God allowed us to see the cross by faith. See, everyone comes into this world with a measure of faith. Some people have faith in other things other than Christ. But you and I, we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have become heirs of God the Father. Praise God. I am so blessed to know, saints of God, that we are forever His, forevermore. How many are so excited to know that? How many of you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are a child of God? that you are His, eternally His, and no one's able to snatch you out of His hands? You have to have that confidence. You have to have that faith. You have to understand that if God is for you, who could be against you? God will put a shield and a buckler around you. No weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. And every tongue, hallelujah, that slanders you and comes against you, God will condemn it in judgment. Praise God. So we need to have the confidence, my friends, that God is for us. And whatever He started in you, whatever He started in me, He will complete it on the appointed time. And soon and very soon, we're going to be with Him. Oh, yes. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But let's go now to verse 3. Look at this. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Praise God. Praise God. Just what I was just saying, saints. You see, Paul alluded to slavery in order to show that before Christ came and died for our sins, people were slaves to the spiritual powers of this world. Did you know that Jesus told the religious people of His day, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, all those, the rabbis of the day, He said they were a bunch of vipers and snakes. Why? Because they were filled with dead men's bones. They were not alive unto God. Matter of fact, they were so religious, they never ministered to the people. All they did was rule over the people, never ministered to the people, never had any inkling of healing and restoration and building up and edifying. No, they never had that in mind. Everything was do's and don'ts. And everything was so religious. Jesus had to come, hallelujah, and show us His grace. How many are so blessed to know it's by faith through God's grace that you and I got saved? Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. And so, my friends, whatever law, religion they chose to follow, it was this, that we would be set free by the Holy Spirit, by God Almighty. Praise God. Now, thinking they could be saved by their deeds, they became enslaved to trying and failing and to follow even the basics of just learning to love God. And so the phrase spiritual powers of this world has been translated several ways, my friends. And most likely, Paul was referring to these powers as the elementary stages of religious practice, whether under the law of the Jewish religion, because they were very, very, very religious. Oh, those of you who were with us when we were sharing the building with Temple Beth Shalom, we know how religious they were, right? Okay, we don't have to go there. We just remember. And so, or the rites and rituals in any heathen religion. Wow. Wow. Paul was just bringing it. He was just bringing it clear. Look what he also wrote in the book of Colossians right here. In Colossians 2:20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why as though living in the world do you subject yourselves to regulations? Wow. You see what Paul was trying to get across their minds? Because when they got saved, they thought they still had to adhere to the law. But no, God has given us grace. Now, God didn't do away with the law. The key element is to truly be obedient to God, is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You see, that is the key. And Jesus said that all the laws, 614, I believe, all of them hinge on those two. You see, here's the thing. If you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, that right there is the capsule. Right? That right there is what God was referring to. Because when you fall in love with Jesus, guess what? That means you will fall in love with the things that He loves and you will hate the things that He hates. You see, it won't be under a whip. It'll be under love because you love Him. And if he's asking you to refrain from certain things in your life, because you love him, you will learn to obey him. Praise God. That's how it works. It's a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not there to whip us. He's not there to beat us on the head. He said, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, come unto me, and I will give you rest for your souls. Listen, we were restless, we were weary before we got saved. That's right. Why? Because the world, this flesh, and the devil was having its toll on us. I got saved at the age of 30. You all know my testimony. $500 of crystal meth in my sock. Oh, yes, I was like my brother, my older brother G would say, I was toe up from the flow up. But God had his perfect way with me. He drew me to the cross. And here's the thing. He didn't drag me to the cross. He drew me through his loving kindness. And then he gave me a mind to be saved and a heart of repentance. And so, saints, in other words, what Paul was referring to is the statement referred to any religious experience prior to accepting Christ as Savior. Paul was pointing out that trying to reach God through any religion or any worldly plan, you know what it does? It brings failure. You see, the powers of the world, whether religious or moral, suggest that a solution is needed, but do not offer that solution. Why? Because it doesn't work. Man's ways doesn't work. God's way does work. And Paul compared religious rituals to slavery. Why? Because they force a standard that people can never achieve. They can never achieve. But saints, but with the proclamation of the gospel, grace in Christ replaced those worldly religious practices. Can I get an amen? Oh yeah, I remember the church I attended when I was a child. I remember people used to line up and they used to just, all these statues in the church, they would rub the feet of these statues, and I used to walk up and look at it, and there were holes in that feet. They were so worn out of people rubbing it. They were rubbing it like a rabbit's tail. My goodness, or a rabbit's foot. Listen, a relationship with God is not superstitious. It's a true living relationship with the living God. And God is not a statue. God is not dead. No, he's not. God is alive and he lives forevermore. And he lives in our heart. And soon and very soon, Jesus is coming back for his church. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, God has a better plan for you and I. So let's move on to verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born what? Under the law. Wow. He was born under the law. Oh, that's right. You see, saints, everyone was enslaved under the spiritual powers of this world. That little word offered hope to humanity. God's intervention into human history changed the world. That was our hope. It wasn't the law. It was God Almighty who had to come down and save us. And when the right time came, God sent his son to the earth, my friends. And why did Jesus come when he did? The why may be unanswerable, except that God knew it was the right time. Praise God. Several factors present in the Roman Empire, certainly, saints of God, it aided the quick spread of the message of the gospel. How many are so blessed that the gospel spread like wildfire? Wildfire. Why? Because these people during this time got to see the miraculous. They got to see the dead being raised. They got to see 5,000 being fed through a little boy's lunchbox, just fish and bread. Oh, that's right. And thousands were fed because it was multiplying. God would heal those who were diseased. During the day was a disease called leprosy, and they were highly contagious. And yet God, hallelujah, would speak the word, and those things that were on them disappeared immediately. The woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, she bled and bled and bled in her private parts. There was no doctor. There was no cure. But when she heard that Jesus was in town, hallelujah, she went, boom, straight toward him. And she had to muscle her way just to touch the hem of his garment. And just by touching the hem of his garment, she was made whole. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just say this. Jesus mentioned many times during his 3.5 years of ministry that there was incredible faith demonstrated by people that just believed. Saints of God, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what issues of life that you face. You got to have faith to believe that God is able to deliver. God is able to save. God is able to reconcile. God is able to put together our Humpty Dumpty lives. Oh, can I get an amen in the house? God is able to restore. God is able to fill back your bank account. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, some of you just have maybe even $10 for the week. But I'm here to let you know that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, Jesus will direct your path. Oh, that's right. That's right. Why? Because He's the God that created all things. And if He created you, He knows every cell and fiber of your being. What are you worried about? There's nothing to be worried about in this life. Why? Because God is with us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You have to believe that, saints of God. You got to believe that God is for us, never against us. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, the Greek civilization provided a language that had spread across much of the known world as the main language for all the people. And the Romans had, they bought peace. They brought peace throughout their empire and built a system of roads that made land travel quicker and safer than ever before. Praise God. You see, my friends, the Jews were they were expectant, eagerly waiting for their Messiah. And messianic fervor was at its height. Into this world came Jesus. Praise God. And just as a Roman father would set the date for his son to reach maturity and attain freedom from his guardians, so God has set the date when he would send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to free people from the law to become his children. Aren't you so blessed? How many are so blessed to know? Praise God. Look what King David wrote here in Psalms 102. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. There it is. God already foreknew when he would come to this world to set the people free, to set you and I free. Look what Mark chapter 1 says right up here. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, John the Baptist. This is Jesus' cousin, his primo, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You see, it was time. Listen, let me just say this. In heaven, in God's realm, there are no clocks. There is not watches to look at. The Bible says one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day in heaven. And so God's appointed time, he came to this world during that time, 2,000 years ago. He chose that time to come. No one chose that. God chose that time. And from that point on, grace for 2,000 years have been given to mankind to repent, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be washed in the blood, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, to be joint heirs with Christ. That's what God planned for mankind. But unfortunately, my friends, many have rejected him even during that time, and many of them will be raised up for damnation and be tossed into the lake of fire. But those who died in Christ will be raised up to live with him forevermore in their brand new glorified body. Praise God. Let's move on to the next scripture. Look at this. Ephesians 1:10. that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? It was God's set time. You see, my friends, Jesus was born of a woman, Mary, and he was God yet also human at the same time. And we need to look back so that we can see that in Genesis, God already spoke of Jesus to come, to put his foot on the serpent's head. And who is the serpent in the Word of God? It's Satan himself. Let's look at this right here. Let's look at Genesis. Look at this. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it also says in Luke. In Luke 1, 30 through 32. Then the angel said to her, this is the angel talking to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Look what John wrote here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Praise God. And if you drop down to verse 14, look at this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? See, God chose to come in the form of a human. He came during that time, during the Roman Empire that had already enslaved all of Israel. They were under that dictatorship, no differently than when the children of Israel were under Pharaoh. But it always seems like the enemy of God always rose up for certain times. But God eventually will have his way. Praise God. And so, saints, Paul balanced his amazing claims, saints, about Jesus' divine nature with his reminder of Jesus' human character. Jesus was a human and subject to the law. Thus, he was voluntarily subject to the structured universe that he had created and that had been marred by human rebellion. Oh, that's right. That's right. Look what it says right here in 1 John 3 through 5. All things were made through him, you see? Through who? Through Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was what? Made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Wow. Wow. You see, when Jesus came on the scene, they didn't see him. They could not. Why? Because they were in darkness. They were looking for a conquering king. Someone that would come and destroy all of Rome during this time. No, Jesus didn't come for that. He came as the suffering Messiah. He came humbly to die for our sins. You see, his father appointed the time of his death. And there was nothing that was going to stop it. Why? Because it was an appointed time. Anything that God appoints, nothing can get in its way. Did you know that if the demons of hell knew that the only way mankind was going to be saved through Jesus' crucifixion, they never would have crucified him. Ha! But God had a plan that baffled them. Hallelujah. And it still baffles mankind that have rejected him. And so this is why it's important, saints, that you and I, we would preach the gospel. We would tell our friends and our family and the loved ones that God is still saving. It's still not too late, but time is closing. And very soon, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord evermore. And so, saints, more significantly, Jesus lived as a Jew, subject to God's revealed law. In keeping with this, Jesus was both circumcised and presented at the temple. Oh, yes, I got scripture to back that up. He was circumcised. He came under the law. Look at this. And when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Wow. Wow. So, saints, yet while no other human being has been able to perfectly fulfill God's law, Jesus kept it completely. Oh, that's right. He kept the law. Why? Because he was perfect. He was sinless. He had no sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. Look what it says in Matthew right here. Look at this. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. He came to fulfill the law, saints. And thus, Jesus could be the perfect sacrifice because although fully human, he never sinned, but yet he was 100% God at the same time. His death brought freedom for us, hallelujah, who were enslaved to sin, offering us redemption and adoption into God's family. How many are so blessed to know that? Praise God. I'm blessed. I'm so thankful. Let's move on now to verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Wow. Wow, look at that, my friends. Look at that. Look at this. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right here regarding this. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again of fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. This is what the Jews would call their father, Abba. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How many are so blessed to know that? How many are so blessed to know? I am. I'm so blessed to know that we are now the children of the Most High God. You see, saints, Jesus was himself born subject to the law so that by his living and dying, he could accomplish two purposes. Let's look at the first purpose right up here. Number one, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. Praise God. Only he could do that. Only he could redeem us. It was through the shedding of his blood. Praise God. He had to die for us. And look at number two. To allow those freed people to be adopted as his very own children. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that we are now the children of the Most High God? And so, saints, through his life, Jesus demonstrated his unique eligibility to buy our freedom. Through his death, Jesus paid the price to release us from the slavery to sin. Praise God. And when Christ redeemed those who were slaves to the law, he did not redeem the Jews alone. Praise God. We were included. His death set people free from bondage to any law or any religious system that was offering. Instead, salvation by faith alone God gave us. Can I get an amen? But because the law was God's clearest revelation, saints of God, of his justice, being born under the law, keeping it perfectly, proved that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah. Why? Because he took upon himself the curse of the law, required in order to set believers free of that curse. And the verses that we're reading, Paul continued to respond to the foolishness of the Galatians, my friends. You see, if Christ had fulfilled the law, taken upon himself the curse of the law, and had freed people from the law, why would the Galatians try to keep requirements already fulfilled by Christ? That's a question that sometimes cannot be answered today, because there's many organizations and religions still under the law. And yet Christ has come to set us free. And so, my friends, meanwhile, Paul was building a case that would make the question entirely rhetorical Redemption had an ongoing purpose so that he could adopt these believers as his children. Praise God. And until Christ bought us, that is, paid the ultimate price by taking the penalty for our sins, we could never have been accepted by God. We would never be acceptable to him. Even our good works, our religious rituals, could bring us no closer to our relationship with him. But Christ, hallelujah, gave freedom from the slavery that people faced before and brought them into a new relationship with God the Father. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, believers' new position in Christ goes beyond mere acceptance by God. So close is that relationship that Paul called it adoption. Praise God. And in a Roman culture, a wealthy childless man could take a slave youth and make that slave his child and heir. That's right. The adopted person was no longer a slave. And this is why God, this is why Paul was using, he was using the Roman law as a type and a shadow. He became a full heir to his new family, guaranteed all legal rights to his father's property. Praise God. And he was not a second-class son. He was equal to all other sons, biological or even adopted, in his father's family. Praise God. That person's origin or past was no longer a factor in his legal standing. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? And likewise, when a person becomes a Christian, my friends, hallelujah, he or she leaves the slavery of trying to please God through works and gains all the privileges and responsibilities of a child in God's family. Praise God. Praise God. So, I hope you're getting this into your spirit, my friends. Now, let's go ahead and move on to verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, what? Abba, Father. We can cry out, Abba, Father, when we got saved, when we got filled with the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, this verse and the next are central in the apostles' entire argument, focusing again on the Galatians. Paul added, you Gentiles have become his children, part of God's family. Praise God. And despite their doubts and confusion at that time, God still regarded the Galatian believers as his children. Praise God. And so, my friends, how did Paul know this? How could the Galatian believers claim this? Well, because God has sent the Spirit of His Son into their hearts. The Spirit cannot be earned or obtained as if it were the result or reward of some kind of system of works or discipline. Instead, my friends, God sends the Holy Spirit as a gift. Did you catch that? As a gift. Having the Spirit of Christ meant that they belonged to Christ. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, a person cannot have a personal relationship with laws or rituals. They can't. Just as I shared when I was a kid, people would get in line and rub that statue's foot so much it became a hole. That's not a relationship. That's a ritual. That's religious. But see, my friends, believers have an intimate relationship with God. Can I get an amen in the house? And they can call God their dear Father. I am so blessed. And God's adopted children, we can approach Him with love and trust, knowing that He hears us, knowing that He understands the situations of life that arise. We can come boldly yet humbly to the throne room of grace. And see, my friends, as God's adopted children, we share with Jesus all the rights to God's resources. As God's heirs, you and I, we can claim what He has provided for us, our full identity as His children. Praise God. Praise God. And let's break down our last verse for the evening in verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so blessed, my friends. That's right. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right here. Let's look at this. Look at that for a moment. I want you to read that. Praise God. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Praise God. If we indeed suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. What does that mean? That means, saints of God, hang on. Don't throw in the towel. What that means is we're going to suffer some things in this life. God never promised us a rose garden. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you through testing and through trials and tribulations. But he said that I am with you forever. And so whatever you're going through, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he's for us, not against us. And though things look bleak, especially in our nation right now, I'm here to let you know that nothing has fallen apart. Everything is falling in place. That's right. Because it's God's appointed time when he will take us on out of here. How many can't wait to be taken on out of here? He told saints, to conclude his argument from this analogy, Paul explained briefly that each Galatian believer was no longer a slave to any law or religious ritual or even to Satan, praise God. Instead, my friends, each person had entered into God's family, a covenant with God, being adopted as God's own child. Belonging to God as his child also means that everything he has belongs to the child, for God has promised the inheritance. I want you to catch this. The inheritance of eternal life and his riches and blessings to all his children. Praise God. And so, my friends, we need no further preparation. Can I get an amen? The system can fill in or stand in for Christ. Praise God. Being a child and being an heir are inseparable realities in God's family. Oh, that's right. That's right. And soon and very soon, God is going to prove to the world what he promised us. He's promised us to have a glorified body like his. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. How many believe that? You got to believe that because we're almost out of here, saints of God. Oh, that's right. And I can't wait. I can't wait because Paul, he wrote to the Thessalonian church in Thessalonica. And when you read this verse of scripture, it has not happened yet. This is in God's appointed time. Possibly, I'm not setting dates, but maybe this Rosh Hashanah, September 26th, is a two-day feast, the Feast of Trumpets. Could it be this feast? We've been waiting since 2008, since we started learning about the Feast of Trumpets. So all these years have come and gone. Could it be that this Rosh Hashanah, that God would do this? Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Look at this. With the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at that. Then we who are alive, look at this, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That should excite you, saints of God. It still excites me every time I read this every week. And why do I read this every week at the conclusion of our Bible study? Because we have memories that drift. We forget things in life. I want to be that constant reminder to you and I that soon and very soon Jesus is coming. And the next greatest event, well, it's going to be the rapture of the church. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait. You see, these bodies of flesh cannot go into heaven. That's right. We're here under the law of gravity. We're confined to this earth, this fleshly body. But our glorified body will not be contained by this planet's gravity. We'll be able to just float away and fly and be with the Lord. Oh, that's right. That's right. I got proof. It's right up here. This is the next greatest event that the world's going to see. Look at this. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. Look at that. Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at that. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Aren't you so blessed to know that this is a promise that God's going to come? He said throughout the Gospels that when you see the signs that are mentioned in Matthew 24, in Luke 23, Luke throughout the Gospels, that His soon return will be here. Listen. This is a time to get right or get left. This is not a political slogan. Right means getting right with God. If not, you'll be left behind. Oh, that's right. That's right. Why? Because God came to save us from a place called hell. Oh, that's right. Now, God doesn't toss us into hell. Men and women, they send themselves to that fiery place. Why? Because they have rejected the only solution to man's dilemma, which is sin. And it was through Christ Jesus who came to save us from our sin. But those who are putting it off and say, yeah, maybe I'll come next Sunday, or yeah, you know, there's still time. I don't need to be with all those hallelujahs and, you know, all those religious folks in their unsaved mind. If that's you and you've been rejecting it and rejecting it and rejecting it, when Jesus comes, don't let this happen to you. Take a look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or He might come next week. Or He could even come...
always going to be the question. Are you ready? Are you ready? My friends, don't put it off any longer. I truly believe this is the time to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart by faith. And there was a scripture 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost that fully came. God poured out His Holy Spirit on the brand new church, the ecclesia of the church. And He poured it out to 120 that were in the upper room. Men and women were in there, including Jesus' mother Mary was there. And people thought at 9 o'clock in the morning that they were drunk. But they weren't drunk. Nobody was drunk. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? And so, the Apostle Peter came down and preached his very sermon, and he just wanted to clear it up because they were all hearing them speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And this was one of the key scriptures for their salvation, which pertains also for today. Let's look at this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, then Peter said to them, repent. That means making an about face. Turn your back to sin and turn to God. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. You see, my friends, the gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. Eternal life. And so, my friends, what's going to be your decision? Some of you need to receive them in your life right now by faith. And you can. You can. And all you have to do is cry out. Cry out to God. I'm going to ask those who are watching right now that you would pray this prayer of faith by God's grace, and that you would invite Jesus into your heart, that God will wash you in his blood and fill you with his Spirit and seal you for the day of redemption. And that day is when he comes and transforms us into the new glorified body, that we would be with him forevermore. Pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.